Losers.
As the jobs become a little more scarce,
yeah.
It's not been as bad recently, but, you know, it's the nature of the business. Mm-hmm. People are very interested to know how one expands their own personal business and picks up retainer clients and kind of goes it on their own. Any tips, techniques, tricks, anything you did that you think helped get your name out there and got stations to come after you and want you to image their station?
You know, that's a good question. I think that's... you know, a lot of imaging guys sometimes can kind of tend to put their own take on what, you know, a project might be, and rightfully so they should. But a lot of the times I think too that you've really got to be able to sit back and listen to what the station really wants. You know what I mean? We don't mm-hmm. get any of these gigs without first being auditioned, you know, without first having them send us some VO and say, hey, here's my thought. You know, this is what you think. What do you think? And then, you know, I really tend to ask my stations a lot of questions. You know, I ask them if they like listener drops, if they like, you know, stutters or this or that, depending on what the format is. And, you know, you got to involve them in your creative process. And I think that is what kind of can set people apart in terms of getting a lot of stations and having positive feedback from people. I mean, we all know that this business is super small, you know, and everybody knows everybody and everybody talks to mm-hmm. everybody, you know. So you've got to be open and willing to listen to what they want and you know, use what they say in your way to convey that type of message and really that type of feeling. You know, they're looking for a feeling at the end of the day that the imaging that you make gives them. And you've got to be able to convey that feeling through audio, you know? And I think just listening and asking the right questions, you know, you got to ask the right questions. I couldn't tell you what they are,
right.
But you've got to ask the right questions in order to get that feeling across that the PD wants or that the show wants, you know, and in order to get a good product. And then I think, it, you know, the rest kind of does the work from there.
Let me steer you back a little bit. Talk more about getting your foot in the door, though. I think a lot of people hear you and go, yep, all right. Or maybe they didn't understand that. Now they're like, yep, that sounds good. But how do I get the guy to even think about me in the first place?
Yeah.
Talk about that.
In terms of like, you know, on the syndication side with Benstown, for me is I saw this company, and as I'm sure a lot of people do, and I saw, well, they have imaging producers. That's cool. I wonder if they're freelance. So I wrote Masa an email. Masa's our VP of sales and operations. You know, and I said, hey, man, you know, because we had the CHR library, and I was like, hey, do you guys take like submissions for your roster and stuff? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. And then I didn't do anything with it for like 3 or 4 months. I sat on it, and, you know, mm-hmm. I was a little scared, frankly, and a little timid to think, you know, to have the balls to kind of put it out there. And I finally did it. I finally put together a demo that I thought was good, it was good, it was cool, and I sent it off. And Chachi and Masa called me like a week later, and they were like, hey, you know, we really like your demo. We'd love to, you know, have you on the roster. I was like, cool. Let's do that. And then, you know, like a week later, I don't know if it was just kind of my personality or, you know, just being kind of a likable guy in that situation. They called me like a week later and said, hey, we have this opportunity for you. You know, this station called. They're looking for, you know, a CHR producer. Do you want to do it? And I said, yeah, you know, I'll try it out. No problem. And, you know, I put the stuff in front of them and they liked it. And so, you know, if they like it and they like you, you know, I think that's always going to help anybody's cause, really. You know, as long as you do good work and your personality kind of backs it up, you know, getting in front of people is not going to be a hard thing to do if you kind of trust in your own ability enough to put it out there. I think that's the hard part sometimes is trusting yourself enough. And sometimes it's not going to be good enough. And sometimes they're going to say no. You know, there's no doubt about it. There's been a lot of no's in my life, for sure. And, you know, it was being accessible to the guys here. It was saying, hey, if you need anything, any time of day, whatever you need, you call me.
It seems like, you know, you definitely got your start young. You advanced at a youthful age.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been around a little while now.
Yeah. I'm old now, I guess. I'm 30, man. I got to be old now.
Well, I was going to say you. I didn't know if you were into your 30s.
Yeah.
So there is a 3 in front of your age
there
now?
There is. I just got it. I just earned that back in October.
Just got the 3.
Yeah.
But you still have actually been around, though, you know, 14, 15 years, whatever, a long time,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
But you still have a lot of youth on your side. Anyway, the point is, in your opinion, I mean, there's been lots of changes. Tell me first the biggest positive, something good, you know, consolidation. What has that done for our business in a positive manner? What is something, you know, a plus we can take out of this ever-changing radio landscape?
That's a good question. You know, consolidation is tough. It's I think there's a positive side to it in the fact that, you know, the people that are really passionate about it and the people that really care about the business are going to shine either way. They're going to be able to come through it and come to companies that are trying to help this situation. You know, like Benstown with us is a company that's trying to help that situation and put guys, you know, that maybe be on the, that might be on the beach, you know, to work for freelance stations and help put the best work forward. You know, I think that's, like you said, it's a realistic expectation in our business. Consolidation is there. It really just kind of depends on how you roll with the punches. You know, I think that this is forcing people to kind of be the best they can be, for a lack of a better term. I think it's pushing people to really kind of hone in on their skill. It's pushing me to do that. It's pushing everybody to do that. And I think at the end of the day, that's a good thing.
And so, you know, you always have the people that, you know, the attitude, there's always going to be the attitude of, well, you know what, I'm awesome, I'm good,
yeah,
but I can't get a job, it's that damn company, you know. In your opinion, how many of the people that are legitimately really good are still sort of out of work?
Yeah, you know, I couldn't tell you how many people are really good that are still legitimately out of work. You know, I think that if you're good enough and your drive is there and your passion is there, you're going to find a way to make it work. You know, a lot of us radio guys don't know anything else. You know, radio is what we do.
Right.
And, you know, if this is something you do and something you love, you're going to find a way to make it work. You know, you're going to find a way to make your passion come to light. You know, and I know that that's easier said than done, obviously. And there's going to be people that say, well, that's, you know, I've put my resume out there, and you probably have. That's not to say that something isn't going to happen. But, you know, I think that it's really just, it's about the hustle, and it's about continuing to work and continuing to put out great stuff. You know, say yes to a gig that's going to pay you $100 if, you know, a year from now, that gig that pays you $100 might pay you $1,000, or you might get two or three or four more gigs because of that. You know, that could add up to $1,000. It really kind of depends on what your, you know, your opportunity cost is, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm guessing this kind of leads me to the, I wanted to ask sort of a future question,
yeah.
But, you know, still being, you know, right at that 30 age, you still just got your 3 in front of your age, but you still have a long time ahead of you. Have you ever spent time thinking about the future? Like, do you think there will be individual imaging producer guys out there in 10 years, 20 years? Do you think eventually that type of a job maybe won't exist at all? Have you put any thought to that side of it and where it might be or where you might be in 10 or 20 years?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's something that we should all be thinking about on a pretty regular basis, especially, like you said, with consolidation. I mean, it's a realistic thing. It's happening. You know, I think that the good thing is that, you know, content is still king. You know, radio stations and any type of other media outlet need content. You know, there's no doubt about it. So people like us, I think, are, you know, have those types of jobs that can last, you know, a really long time, depending on how you roll with the punches. You know, people talk about Pandora and Spotify and Beats Radio or any of those types of things taking over radio, and radio's changing and the connected car and this and that. And yes, it is. It is changing. I think the good thing about all of those mediums, though, is that it's all still radio. And, you know, they're going to need content. There's no doubt about it, whether that is a commercial spot producer or maybe, you know, those things catch on and they understand that, you know, curation in terms of imaging and providing a different way for their stations to stand out is going to be important. You know, in terms of where I'm going to be and where Benstown's going to be, I think we're pushing along. You know, I'm in this for the long haul with Benstown, and, you know, we're here to try to roll with the punches and to try to make new things happen within the business and provide those opportunities for everybody. I think that that's something that we really kind of hang our hat on and try to be as innovative as we can to make sure that our medium sticks around, you know, which is why we put out marketing. We put out all these different things to be in people's faces, to let them understand that, you know, we do this because we love this and because it's important. You know, there's, you know, studies have come out from Slacker that, you know, where they did two stations identical. And they talked about this at All Access last year. You know, one station was totally just a music jukebox. It was just a top 40 station, no jocks, no imaging, no nothing. And then the other station was exactly the same music, but it had jocks, it had curation, it had imaging, it had all that different stuff. And in the ratings, you know, whatever ratings metrics they used, the station that was curated outperformed it by like 30 or 40%. And I think that that says something. I think that says a lot in terms of what we do and where we're going to be. I think we're going to be here. It just depends on how we're going to be here. You know, who knows?
Again, I always try and think of this thing in terms of kind of the younger folk or the person who maybe, you know, wants to get into radio or was in it for a little bit. Maybe they didn't learn a ton. You know, they just want to advance in this industry. So I'll talk more tech stuff in a minute. But in general, do you have some pointers on things people can or should be doing to make themselves better? You know, and let me preface or not preface, but add sometimes, you know, when you say, well, just practice and practice. My belief is that just practicing isn't actually necessarily great advice because you might be practicing wrong. That said, tools, tips, tricks, things people can and should be doing to get themselves ready for a real career.
You know, I think that's the best piece of advice I could give there is to share your stuff as much as you can, as often as you can. And I probably now, just because I'm so busy, I'm not the best at that. But, you know, if you're coming up and you're working hard, share your stuff with people, with your program directors, with other producers on Facebook and the imaging groups. You know, put it out there and let people critique it. You know, listen to what other people have to say about what you're doing. I think that that's the best feedback that you can really get. You know, obviously, we've got the Benstown blog that's very technical and can help people out in terms of producing. You know, everybody, you know, I just switched to Pro Tools a year ago, and that was a really daunting task for me. That was something that was wildly intimidating, and I was just not sure how it was going to go, and I was like, you know, this is going to make me less valuable, and I'm not going to get it. But, you know, I watched videos. I looked things up on YouTube. I tried to learn as much about it as I possibly could. I came out to LA. I took classes, you know, from Pro Tools experts, and I did all of these things to kind of immerse myself in it. You know, you can't be a professional and you can't call what you do your passion if you're not in it 100%. You know, you've got to be in it 100%. You've got to be, you know, networking and listening to people and you know, saying, oh, well, I didn't like this. What about this? Well, perfect. Cool. I didn't think about that. You know what I mean? Listen to other people's work. Listen to radio stations. That's, you know, really the way that I think you should get your chops is to listen to other radio stations and listen to how people who are out there doing it are doing it. And then kind of, you know, mold your own experience from there.
Yeah, and then now as I slide us over into a little more of the tech side, it's interesting you bring up Pro Tools. It's interesting that you weren't on it. So you were on, I'm guessing, Audition or something like that?
Exactly, yeah. I was on 6.0, you know, for like a year and a half or something like that, maybe like a year. And then I was on 1.5 before that for my whole career, you know, just like a lot of radio guys.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I just wanted to, you know, quickly, in your opinion, in order to be a good radio imaging producer, do you have to be on Pro Tools?
No. No, I don't think so.
Right.
Not at all. I think that, you know, Pro Tools is, since I made the switch, would I recommend Pro Tools to anybody? Yes. Absolutely. It has ended up saving me time. There's a lot of fantastic things about Pro Tools that I really love. There's a lot of fantastic things about Adobe Audition that I really love. Do I think it has the same power and the same capabilities as Pro Tools? No. But I only know that now since I made the switch to Pro Tools. You know what I mean?
And what... Why did you make the switch over to Pro Tools?
That was a big push that the guys at Benstown wanted me to do. Andy was pretty instrumental in wanting me to move to Pro Tools, and I was too. You know, it was something that was one of my goals for last year was to make that switch and to be proficient at it and be able to talk about it intelligently, and it was a switch that I was able to make. You know, like I said, though, it was a daunting task. You know, it was something that was super intimidating for me, which was okay. You know, for me, those scary moments and that type of scary technology shift, you know, because it's an uphill battle. You know, everybody knows that in terms of switching programs. It's an uphill battle anytime.
Yeah. Are you in a Mac environment there? I mean, I'm assuming they have some sort of a studio they have for you there.
Yeah.
And did they kind of build you a workstation? Is it a Mac environment?
It is. It's a Mac environment. Yeah. I don't think anybody's on a PC here. Yeah. It's all Mac.
Yeah, I would figure that. So you have a home studio?
I do. Yep.
Sounds like.
Yep.
Yep. Have you gone to Pro Tools at home also?
I have. Yeah, Pro Tools full blown. Yeah. The only thing I don't do on Pro Tools is produce my mix show. There's a program called Mixmeister that is a big time saver and really works for what I need to
do. I've heard of that.
And it's on PC. I'm getting ready to make the switch actually from that to Ableton here in the next couple of weeks. So that's happening.
Cool.
For sure. But so I'll be Mac full blown.
Let's talk a little software first then. You just brought up Mixmeister for those and then Ableton. You're going to do your mix shows in Ableton?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why Ableton? Why can't you do in Pro Tools, for example? Just, you know, educate me. Why couldn't you do it in Pro Tools?
Ableton tracks it differently. You know, as soon as you put a track into Ableton, it automatically counts the BPM for you, sets up warp markers, all that different kind of stuff. And then I can go in and manipulate them from there. Pro Tools doesn't necessarily do that. It's not as DJ friendly as Ableton is. You know, you can go to a nightclub or go to a performance, and a lot of guys do it, you know, from the top guys, Steve Aoki, all these guys. A lot of them use Ableton live during their sets because they can change things on the fly, but they can also bring in other tracks and it'll warp it automatically to your grid and do all kinds of different things that you can kind of do on the fly to change it to make it easier and more efficient in terms of, you know, a production of a long form show. You know, I couldn't in Pro Tools, I could do all that stuff. It would just take me way longer.
Yeah, I have Ableton. I've used it. I really enjoy it. It makes me feel like I know what I'm doing when it comes to putting, you know, beats together.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, look at that. I just dropped in this loop of a guitar and suddenly it's right in line with this drum beat, you know.
Exactly.
It makes you feel really cool.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And I think, you know, just for me in terms of ease of use for the mix show, it'll be a huge help. Trust me, if I could do that in Pro Tools that quickly, that easily, I would. But I think it's going to be Ableton for that. You know, a lot of guys are producing on Ableton nowadays too, from what I hear.
I was going to bring that up. So why aren't you 100% in Ableton then? I mean, obviously the band Andy and those guys want Pro Tools, but tell me why one might not go 100% Ableton.
I think it's a little too structured in terms of like snapping things to the grid and, you know, quantizing them that way. For me, with the different modes in Pro Tools, slip and shuffle and spot and all those different modes and grid, obviously, you know, you can move around a little more freely. And frankly, I've just never tried it or wanted to. I don't think that the multi-track for me, the way that it's set up in Ableton is as user-friendly as it is for producers in Pro Tools or even Audition for that matter. It's got a computer feeling to it. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's kind of a...
I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's just...
It doesn't feel like an environment. It's not the side of the pro... Like, to me, all these DAWs kind of have two sides, kind of like in your mix view and your edit view.
Yeah.
Ableton's more like it's got an edit view, and then it's got a crappier edit view, and that's the multi-track side.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so for me, it's just, you know, I've messed around with it. I'm like, oh, maybe, nope, and I just stop. You know?
Yeah,
it's.
Yeah.
I think Pro Tools is fantastic, and I'm here to stay on Pro Tools, I think. So.
Yeah, I'll add on to that with everything in life, I mean, we all, and especially the older we get, because I'm a lot older than you, so I can experience this more than you. Everything seems... like it's going to be awful, you know, like change and new things and why Adobe works great. Yep. Why should I go learn this other thing? You know, and there's always going to be that little bit of fear, and it's fine. It's natural. Everybody has it.
Totally.
But my opinion always is if there's something new, don't avoid it because you don't think it's going to be one way or the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly right, man.
It's going to make you smarter and it's going to make you better if you just try and do things, because it'll make you well-rounded in other areas.
That's right, and it's, you know, it's going to show you what you're capable of. You know, I remember when I moved to LA, like I said, I like to dance, you know, at the nightclub and stuff like that, and so I probably shouldn't say this, but I've taken like dance classes and that type of stuff, hip-hop dance classes. You know, I'm really kind of into that stuff. And when I first moved to LA, you know, outside of the production stuff, there's a really famous dance studio here called Millennium Dance Studio. And, you know, everybody back in the day used to go there. Britney and, you know, NSYNC and all these, you know, the dancer people, Chris Brown and Usher and all those guys. Really famous place. That's where all the new dancers go to get found. And so when I moved here, I was like, oh, I'm going to go take a dance class. I could do this. I got this. And, you know, albeit I got here and I started eating all the food that's out here and I gained a little bit of weight. And, you know, I get there and I'm like clumsy on my feet. And I am by far the worst person in this class. Hands down, no question about it. And, you know, like halfway through the class, I was like, cool, I can't keep up. I'm out of here. But just being, you know, out of my comfort zone and doing something like that, it's such a life lesson, you know? And I think that producers can take a lot from something like that. You know, dive in and be uncomfortable. Sit down on a new program and 5 minutes in, start sweating because you don't really know what you're doing, you know? And that's how I was with Pro Tools, man. And it's intimidating, you know? But eventually it gets easier.
And remember, I mean, you know, everybody started is doing something. Like, if you started on Cool Edit, you still had to learn Cool Edit. I mean, Cool Edit wasn't just instantly easy. You still had to, you went through it before. You can do it again.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you've learned one, you know, every one after that's going to be easier. It's the first one that's hard. Every one after that is easier. So if you've got Cool Edit down, then Adobe Audition is going to be cake. And Ableton might not be that difficult. And Pro Tools, believe me, isn't going to be that hard. Yeah. I just want to make sure people know. You know, it's never as daunting as you're making it out to be.
I totally agree. And there's, you know, you're always going to continue to learn, too. You know, you really only, you know, the 10,000 hour thing comes back to, you know, you're a master, you know, after 10,000 hours or whatever it is. But you're really only a master of those first 10,000 hours. You know what I mean? You're still pushing forward and you're still learning things. You know what I mean? You're not a master of what you haven't done yet. And so that, you know, still rings true for me to Pro Tools. You know, I still learn new things and teach myself new tricks on accident by hitting the wrong key or whatever it is. You know what I mean? That's a realistic thing and you should go after that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So other tech stuff, anything in your, let's start with the home studio, anything in your home studio that you can't live without, obviously besides your Mac and your Pro Tools?
Yeah, you know, honestly, that might be about it, really. You know, my my Mac is fantastic, and my Pro Tools is there. I think that that's really, you know, outside of that, that's really the only thing I can't live without. I mean, you know, in terms of plugins and that type of stuff, you can have everything on any computer you want, really, for the most part. I don't have the most of intricate of studios, you know, at home. I've got.
Do you have any plugins that you love, though? Have you bought any, you know, third-party plugs that you really enjoy?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, the one that I use the most is Ozone. You know, I really like Ozone. Yeah. I think it colors the audio pretty nicely once you've messed with it and set up your different settings and that type of stuff. You know, we have all the Waves plugins and all that good stuff. There's a lot of good ones on there. H-Delay is a great delay. I've been playing with the Crystallizer quite a bit lately. You know, you get some funky sounds with that. You know, it's and I still experiment.
Is that Sound Toys?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, it's a lot of fun, man.
I just used Crystallizer today on a country jingle, by the way.
Yeah, see, there you go. It's cool, man. The splice effects that you can do, and then you can go in and tweak the splices. You know, that's really cool. There's all kinds of different stuff, and I'm anxious to continue to dive into that because, like I said, you know, on Audition, you have the ability to use those, but I don't think it's the same. You know what I mean? It's for whatever reason to me, it just wasn't the same, and so I'm still diving into all kinds of different plugins now, and using the L3. A lot, obviously, and different compressors and all that kind of stuff. And
do you have an EQ of choice? Do you just use the Pro Tools, the Avid EQ, or do you have an EQ of choice?
I use Pro Q a lot, the FabFilter Pro Q. We like quite a bit for our VO, and then we use the Pro Tools EQs quite a bit too, and they're good EQs. You know, the 7-band obviously is very good. And I use the
especially
1-band.
If you're doing roll offs, they're really easy and clean, and they sound nice.
Exactly, yeah. And the roll offs is something I use, you know, all the time. I always automate that and roll it off, you know, kind of over a long period of time or whatever it is, depending on, you know, what format I'm doing or whatever it is. We use those all the time. You know, the one that I like a lot, depending, like if it's an urban station or something like that, I use the Sans Amp a lot. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's kind of like a distortion tool. I use that one quite a bit to get an interesting sound out of it. You know, I like that a lot too. So,
hey, another one I'll throw out for anybody that's listening and really enamored with this tech side of the talk. There's always people that don't get into it and some that do. But I just threw it on today. I got it a long time ago, I believe. Oh, you know what? I'm forgetting now. I think it's Sound Toys. It's called Devil Lock. Did you ever get that?
No, Devil Lock.
Yeah, you know what? Let me type it in here because I always bring things up that I then confuse, and you know that's great to do when you're doing like live shows.
Yeah, totally. No, I'll look into it for sure. What is it?
It is Sound Toys. So this is a free plugin. I believe it's still free. I'm only saying it because it's free. It's extremely simple, Anyone can have it, and it just puts nastiness. It's like nasty compression.
Nice.
And if you want to get like some grunginess on something, you can use it on a voice, and you can dial it. It has two dials on it. It has two dials on it, and you know, they both make different sounds, and that's it. You just dial it in from 0 to 10.
Yeah.
Anyway, check it out sometime. I won't go into it too much right now.
No, I love that, man. I'm all about changing ideas and that type of stuff. I'm all about it.
And I do want to bring this up since it was just released and I have you. This is your world. Have you checked out Break Tweaker yet?
No, I haven't. I have not. I saw that it was released, but I haven't checked it out yet. Do you have it yet?
I got the demo. I'm going to buy it just because that's what I do. I buy those things because I like to think of myself as a bit of a music maker and I like to learn and get better. But then anything that seemingly makes it a lot easier on me is also what I enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
I really enjoy BT's work also.
Yep.
So anyway, Break Tweaker, someday you'll have to, if you get it or you check it out, you'll have to tell me what you think of that.
Yeah, I think Shane just actually recommended that to me, our composer. He said it was fantastic. You can do all kinds of different splices and stuff, and I do that all the time. So yeah, I'm definitely looking into that.
And it just makes me, it makes you feel good about yourself because you get stuff done, really cool stuff happening immediately.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to do a lot of work. Anyway.
I like that.
As we sort of round it out here, I will ask on a lighthearted note, were you or are you, have you become all LA on us? Or were you already kind of that guy? Or are you staying normal?
I would like to think that I'm fairly normal still. I don't know. I don't live in like Hollywood or anything. I live in Sherman Oaks, which is over the hill in the valley.
If the weather goes below 60, do you put on a thick winter coat?
Oh, God, man, not anymore. I was used to the Albuquerque weather, so it got cold in Albuquerque. And I'll tell you this, I might be the only LA guy that would tell you this, but the constant normal like temperature and weather, like the constant same thing, kind of freaks me out, man. Like,
yeah, no seasons.
Yeah, no seasons whatsoever. We haven't had any rain in like 20 years, and it's just it just kind of freaks me out. Like, I like the cold, I like the rain and the snow and the stuff, and you know, the constant 80 degrees and sunny is nice. Don't get me wrong, but it kind of freaks me out a little bit, man. No, so I mean, I got a little bit of a thick skin when it comes to how cold it is outside, and you know. Like to go to parties and stuff and go to the club still every now and then, but nothing too crazy, you know?
I grew up there, so I can talk all the smack I want to about it.
Okay.
And yes, when I moved away, I took all the rain with me, evidently.
It's ridiculous, man. But it's nice, though. I mean, I do like all the food. One thing I don't do out here is eat at chain restaurants because there's so many regular restaurants and normal, like local food, and it's so good. Like, that's... it's fantastic.
You want to know what I miss?
What's that?
I miss El Pollo Loco.
Yeah, for sure. There's one right by my house. There's an El Torito right by my house, too, that we go to all the time. Their Sunday brunch is ridiculous.
That's cool, man. Well, I tell you what, I think we've yammered on about L.A. BS for long enough here at the end.
Indeed.
We'll let you go. I think we covered everything major. There's a lot for you to get into. It's great to see that you've had so much success at such a young age. I know you got started at it early, which is good. But I've been friends with the Benstown guys a long time. I think we have a lot of mutual respect.
Indeed,
and
absolutely,
I'm glad you're with them. And
well, likewise, yeah, I mean, taking over, you know, I took over the country library after you left, and there was some big shoes to be filled there, my friend. And so thank you for you know, kind of showing me the way, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm glad. Well, just in case, you know what? In my intro, I will have given any pertinent details, but you didn't really have a good website for me to direct people. Are we just putting people to your Facebook, or are you on Twitter a lot?
You're right, yeah. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. On my Twitter, it's Just In Case On Air. My Facebook is under my real name, which is Charles Scott Mayton, M-A-Y-T-O-N. I've got my demos and a bunch of other things at a website called OneSheet, onesheet.com/justincaseradio. You can check out the demos there, and I think Ryan's going to post them as well. But yeah, you'll find me all over social media. Now that I'm not on the air, I don't social media as much, but you know,
sure.
I'm certainly still there, you know, posting ridiculous stuff as much as I can. So yeah, for sure. And then obviously, you know, all the Benstown pages, benstown.com, and you know, the production blog and all that good stuff. You can always check us out there too. So
yeah, I'll put all those links up. I mean, we're kind of in the family now since Cumulus bought my company, and Cumulus has an exclusive deal with you guys. So we're kind of in the same family
now. We're
pretty
much co-workers again, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll see you at the Christmas party.
Yeah, indeed.
No. Great. I'll have links to everything up on my Just In Case podcast page. And then you just told me that you have new audio put up on your Facebook so people can go hear that there also. But
totally.
Anyway, that'll round it out. Justin Case, thank you so much for joining me on the show, man.
Ryan, thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
I will say thank you one more time to Justin. Again, that was part two. If for some reason you're getting this audio and you just can't read or you don't care enough, and that's fine. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying you got to care. But there is a part one if you want to hear more from Justin. So go check it out. And what else do I have? I'll just say I really don't have a lot. I'm just going to really be knocking down interviews. I'm not going to try and do too much more with this thing right here. It was a real busy holiday season, I'll say that. I'm kind of glad to be deep into 14 now. It's a blast. Still get to love what we all do, and hopefully you do as well. Hopefully you find value in these. You know, I don't know if I've said it in a while, but we are on Facebook, facebook.com/prodpod. So you can go like it there and basically just use that to get updates on this podcast. And on occasion, I'll post links to interesting audio things, other things from the blog. But that's kind of our presence on Facebook. That's it. Twitter is our dream. I'm over Twitter. I'm probably into Twitter like 90% now. And all I do is have it mirror to my Facebook. I'm just not a huge fan of Facebook anymore. But I know people are, and I don't definitely no problem with it. Man, if you love Facebook, you're like one of a billion people. So great. And I'll still put the updates there. But I interact a lot more on Twitter now. So if you want to follow me there or like me or whatever the hell you do on Twitter, and it's twitter.com/RDREAN. You can see my nude photos on Instagram if you like, but you'll have to find those. And yeah, I'll do it. George Whittam is going to be the next guest, assuming I can lock in some of his time soon. And then, like I said, a big roundtable discussion will be going multi-continental. And it'll be with the fine folks at Capital FM and Capital Networks in London. I've already spoken to this team. They're amazing people. It's going to be an amazing interview. So please join us then as well in a couple months. All right. Otherwise, thanks a lot. Ryan on the radio.com. Bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.